I would like to welcome you again to another week of broadcasting the glorious gospel of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are happy that you can be with us for the program today. Today we're in John chapter 11, and I'm going to read to you today the rest of the account of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, there were a number of resurrections recorded in the Bible. There were resurrections in the Old Testament. There were resurrections in the New Testament. But this is one of the most interesting and one of the most fully described resurrections that we find in the Bible. So I want to read this to you. It's precious, and I hope it will thrill your heart as we begin reading with verse 38 in John chapter 11. Now, if you are in your automobile or on the job, and you are not able to open your Bible and read with us, by all means, remember the reference and read it just as soon as you can for yourself. John chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. There are several points in this particular account that I would like to call your attention to today. I've said it a number of times and have used it as a beginning for any number of evangelistic and revival messages that I preach. I am an inquisitive person. When I read the scripture, I ask questions. Why is it this way? Why did he do it that way? Why is this particular verse in this particular place? So I ask questions, and I have questions here concerning this particular incident. Not questions as to whether it happened or not, because I believe the Bible to be God's Word, and I believe it happened just exactly like the Bible said. But I do have some questions, and one of the things that brings questions to my mind is the difference between this resurrection, the resurrection of Lazarus, performed and as a miracle by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. There are some things here that are different in these two resurrections, and we'll be calling your attention to those as we go along. First of all, why didn't Jesus just miraculously raise him from the dead, and instead of saying, to Martha, remove the stone? Why did he just go ahead and move the stone himself? Why didn't Jesus move the stone miraculously? He could have done so. The stone that was before the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ was removed by angels. He could have had angels to come down and move the stone from the grave of Lazarus, but he didn't choose to do so. And I thought about that. I wondered why the difference. Well, I don't know that I have all the answers, but I do believe that he wanted these people standing there to move that stone themselves, exercising faith that he knew what he was talking about, and faith that he was God, and faith that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. He required their faith. And then he required their obedience. You see, he said, remove the stone. And he wanted them to put their faith into action. That's exactly what God wants you, God wants me to do today. It's one thing to say, I have faith, and then not do anything about it. That's exactly what James was talking about in the book of James when he says, faith without works is dead. There's a lot of folks talking about, I've got the faith, I'm in the faith, I belong to God, I'm in the faith, I'm a Christian. But you don't see any action going on. You don't see them working for the Lord. You don't see them putting their faith to work for God. And so Jesus wanted them to believe, first of all, that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. Surely if they had not believed it, they would have been even more hesitant to have moved the stone. I don't think Jesus had any political power to cause them to move the stone. It's just that they had to believe that he was telling them the right thing to do, and they did it by faith, by believing that he would take care of the fact that the body had already decayed, that, as Martha said, by now it stinketh, or it has decayed to the point where the odor would be terrible if you raise that or lift that stone from off that grave. Well, they had to believe. They had to have faith. They had to exercise that faith by moving that stone. That's the way a person gets saved, and I've made this clear. In fact, I've said all the way through the study in the Gospel of John, which is the salvation book, that there must be an exercising of your faith in salvation. You can believe with your head and die and go to hell. You can believe with your head only, and you will die without God. You can just say, I believe, all you please, but if you do not actually trust Jesus Christ for yourself, just as I've said hundreds of times, and I think it's good to repeat because we have new people listening all of the time to our broadcast. If you say you have faith in a bridge and you refuse to step on that bridge, then you are not exercising your faith. Your faith is no good because you are not trusting it for yourself. You might have it for somebody else. You might believe it'll take others across. But if you do not believe it will take you across, then you will not step on that bridge or drive your car on that bridge. And so that's the way salvation works. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly, first of all, intellectually. And then you believe in your heart, trusting him totally and completely, not only that he can save, not only that he has saved others, but that he will save you right now by your just saying, yes, I will trust him completely right now. I'll turn myself totally, completely over to him, turning from my sins, turning to God, trusting Jesus 100%. And I hope that many of you will do that today. We'll continue with this marvelous account of the resurrection of Lazarus, which is certainly typical of the salvation of a soul.